Praise God, amen. We're going to go straight into the word. Hallelujah. I like teaching. I like being down here. It feels very close. You get very close and very connected. I'm not going to be up here long. I want to take you to April 25th, 2010. You're like, why is that date? That sounds like a very random date. April 24th, the day before, was the day when my mother passed away. I was about to take this test, it's called the Praxis 2. This test is like gonna make or break my career. And right before I was about to start, I saw my boss, the director of residence life, and the VP of student affairs at the door, and they pulled me out of the test. Then they put Trey on the phone. Then everybody rushed me down there. That night, I was staying with Bishop, an elect lady, and I got a call from the minister of music at Judah at the time saying, hey, what are we going to do for praise and worship? And I'm like, why are y'all asking me? My mama just died. Yeah, but I wanted your input. So we made the list. Then the next Sunday, Trey and I got ready for church as we normally would. So the next day was the 25th. Trey and I got ready as we normally would for church. We met up at the church. I forgot who picked me up. Somebody picked me up, but we met up at the church. And service is about to start. You have the praise and worship team behind us, and me and Trey standing out front. And the church, because everybody from the church and people from the past had heard what happened, and the church was a little bit more full than normal after the opening prayer. We began to lead praise and worship. I need you to understand this. I need you to think about this. Our mother just died 24 hours before we started singing. Enough time had passed that it was still raw, but we were standing in the pulpit in her spot while the rest of the church was mourning and grieving and weeping, while the praise and worship team could barely get through the praise and worship set. She and I were standing next to each other, leading the mourning, but also leading in praise and worship. Looking back on this now, being almost 14 years, most people would see that, and they'll just be like, but their mother just died. Most people would not have been able to go up and stand in her spot and lead praise and worship like she was there. And even at her funeral, we were singing, I was directing the choir. And the question that came up is, how can you praise God at a time like this? How can you praise God at a time like this? Let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, I thank you. I thank you that you have given this word to me in my belly. And Lord God, I pray that you release what you once said in this place. You release what needs to be encouraged in this place. So God, you release the healing that needs to happen in this place in the name of Jesus. And Lord God, I come against any demonic force that will try to stop or block the move of God that is going to happen in this place. So God, I pray for those who are watching online right now that they get the overflow of what God is about to do, because I feel a deep, tangible presence in this room right now. So God, I thank you for you being who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. How can you praise God at a time like this? Now, this month is Black History Month. And being down in Lancaster, I couldn't go in the direction I need to go with this, but we're going to go. Can we go? Can we go there? So today, this whole month has been in remembrance of a culture, of a group of people who has greatly influenced American culture, who has influenced international culture. But that influence began from a place of suffering. 1619, over 400 years ago, the first slaves came to the United States. People thought they were converting them. Oh, we're going to convert them to Christianity, when Christianity had been up and through Africa way before the Europeans showed up. But I find it interesting that the songs that they sang were connected to the word. They didn't just make up something. Those songs were connected to the word, and they taught the word, but they also spoke of what they had been praying for, which was freedom. If you look at the civil rights movement, the songs that they sang came from what? The church. I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on freedom, but while they were saying freedom, their spirit was saying Jesus. Getting hit with fire hydrants, getting mauled by dogs, released by the people who's supposed to serve and protect them. They're going through all this thing, but yet they are up singing. How can you sing? How can you praise God at a time like this? Even right now, in the days that we're looking at right now, again, it is, I feel like we're in 2020 part two without the pandemic. I'm like, Lord, let March 12th pass, but nothing happened in the name of Jesus. But we are still in a time of division. We are still in a time of great suffering. We are still in a time of wars and rumors of wars, that there's illnesses still popping. There's still violence happening in the land. All these things are happening. And even the church is at a place of fracture. And people might be looking at you going, how can you praise God at a time like this? I'm not going to sit here and make y'all flip-flop through the Bible today. We're going to go to one scripture. Go to the book of Job. Just one. We're going to go to chapter 13. Amen. If you got it, say amen. If you're waiting, say hold up. Job 13, we're going to start at verse 13. I'm reading from the King James, and it says this, hold your peace. Everybody say, hold your peace. That's the fancy way of saying shut up. Hold your peace, let me alone, that I may speak, and let come on me what will. Wherefore I do take my flesh in my teeth, and put my life in mine hand. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him, but I will maintain my own ways before him. He also shall be my salvation, for an hypocrite shall not come before him. Hear diligently my speech and my declaration with your ears. Behold, now I have ordered my cause. I know that I shall be justified. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Y'all can have a seat. All right. So let's go ahead and go. I told y'all I ain't going to be up here long. Job, if you look at the Bible in chronological order as it was written, Genesis was not the first book that was written. It was actually Job. You're like, what? Yeah, Job. And if you look at how the books were written in chronological order by the writer, Job was the first one. So the story of Job is a narrative about how a man who had everything ended up losing everything, and how he endured until he got double of what he had. And it starts with a conversation between God and the devil. God's like, saying, what you been up to? No, going to and fro, seeking who I might devour. I love that for you. Hey, you know, Job. Yeah, what about Job? He been faithful. He been paying his tithes, go to church every Sunday. He been loving on folk, taking care of his neighbor. But I want to see if, you know, if he, what happens if he loses everything? He's still going to rock with you or not? All right, I'll take you up on that. You can do anything you want to him, but you cannot what? Can't kill him. So Job has all these riches, all these children and stuff. His cattle end up dying. His children end up getting Wizard of Oz up out of here by a tornado. He starts getting boils and sores. Lost everything, including his health, but he didn't lose his mind. And his friends had in the story, I don't know, you must have made God mad. He must have did something to you. And then his wife's like, you know what, I'm sick and tired of this. You know what, you need to just curse God and die. Though he slay me, yet will I what? Trust him. Here's the thing about praise. Praise has nothing to do with you, because praise is designed to identify and speak of the greatness of God. Praise is a reminder. But if you don't praise him, there are billions of other people who will take your spot. If we don't praise him, what, the rocks will cry. If we don't praise him, the birds are going to stay. Look, the cow going to go moo. You can't jump. It's just going to moo and feel it. Because everything was created to praise God. That means to show the goodness of. In the Greek, the word praise comes from elogio, which is the root of the word eulogy. And to eulogize someone means to speak well of them. So when we praise God, we are speaking well of who he is and of his nature. But we are living in a Christianity to where we only praise God when things are good. We only praise God when we get that new car. We only praise God when our health is good. But you can see the difference between someone who is a Christian but just a believer and a Christian but who's in relationship because of what happens in suffering. Because you'll have those people who will complain about their situation. They will just sit there. And, you know, I remember why they stopped having testimony service, because people either started lying or they got depressing. I woke up this morning, church, with my hip was hurting, but I thank God I was able to get up out the bed. Y'all remember these? My big toe don't swole up, but glory to God. When we went to Meredith Temple as kids, there was this lady who would sing every single Sunday. Just another day that the Lord, he has kept me, and I'm glad. She had it, and I'm glad. Just another day that the Lord has kept me. He kept me from all evil. Wish I had a voice. With my mind stayed on him. Just another day that the Lord has kept me, and I'm glad. Praise the Lord, saints. I give honor to the pastor, to the first lady, to everyone under the sound of my voice. I've been clean for the past 15 years, 6 months, 3 weeks, 2 days, and 5 minutes. Every single Sunday. That's all she would say. And people would be like, why she got to do that every single Sunday? Then we got Sister Earlene over here talking about, they done cut my foot off, but I'm glad to be alive. Amen. Sat down. What I learned as I've gotten older, I've learned that testimony, the speaking well of who God is what kept that woman. I'm going to tell you like this. She ain't never relapsed. Because even in the state she was in, she was willing to praise God. Bills didn't matter. You kept me. You kept me. You kept me sober. You kept me sane. I haven't had to go back because you have kept me. That's enough. People look at me all the time and they're like, okay, and all the midst of stuff you've gone through, there's always been this line of praise. Yes, because praise reminds me of God's goodness when things don't seem good. We were supposed to sing praises what I do today, but clearly that's not happening. But that song was written at a low point in Bishop William Murphy's life. And he was saying that no matter, y'all know the song, no matter what I'm going through, I'm still going to praise, because praise is what I do. Praise is who I am. Praise in struggle means that you trust God to be exactly who he said that he's going to be. And I told y'all this message ain't going to be long. And now we have to come to a place where, like, we've been giving you some good instruction. We've been giving you some good meat. Like, we've all been just sitting at the table really caring for God. And I'm like, okay, God, this is all fine and good. But, Lord God, what needs to be said to the heart? No matter what you go through, continue to praise God. Praising God is not just coming up in here singing some songs. Praising God is while you're at your job, while somebody, well, I can't do, well, you know what, God's good. God's been good to me. Although this and that might be happening right now, I know God is going to get me through it. That's praise. You know, when you sit in your car and your mind tends to go through all the stuff you're going through, but you're like, you know what? My God is bigger. Oh, magnify. My God is bigger than those things. So I'm going to remember what he has done. I'm going to have, I used to say this. If God doesn't do anything else for me, if God says, all right, you're going to live on the earth, he ain't getting more blessings, I'm still good. Because I have a filing cabinet. I got a whole file folder full of the things that God has done. And because just on the strength of what he has done, I'm still going to praise him because he's just that good. And that's something that the newfangled church, yes, I'm like, you sound real old. Yes, I'm 36, but I've been at this for a while. This, the newfangled church has to understand the God in the fellowship of the suffering, because it's in suffering that indicates who you put your trust in. Because if you can praise God in suffering, it's a reaffirmation to yourself that I know that he's going to do it. And if he doesn't do it, he's still just that good because he's done enough. Can you praise God when everything is falling apart? We keep talking. 2020 showed me some things that people needed an organ and all this other stuff to praise God, and they got mad because they couldn't go to church. Listen, I will put on some John P. Key and go to town, because I don't even need John P. Key when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for me. My soul cries out. Hallelujah. Look, all I got, look, my soul cries out. While I'm sitting in the car at work and work stressing me out, instead of me sitting here complaining, let me give, Lord, I just want to thank you. Sorry, I go back to the old stuff because I need something with some roots. I want to thank you for being so good to me, so good to me. When I was sick, you healed my body. When I was hungry, you gave me food. Oh, Lord, I just want to thank you. Oh, Lord, I just want to thank you. I want to thank you for being so good to me, so good to me. And then I'm driving through the mountains, through the foothills of Appalachia, trying to get to Nelsonville. For every mountain you brought me over, for every trial you see me through, for every blessing, hallelujah, for this I give you praise. because I have to remind myself that God is just as good in the place of crushing as he is good in the place of abundance. God is just as good when your body is sick. He's as good as he is when your body is healed. He's just as good when you have more month than money than he is when you have abundance. He is still just that good, because every time you have gone through something, he has brought you out. And I learned this lesson from my mother, that regardless of the illnesses, regardless of the seizures, regardless of what's happened, regardless of the divorces, regardless of anything, of everything, praise is still in order. Because I must speak well of the goodness of God. And also, I need you to understand this, that life and death is in the power of the tongue. And when you begin to speak death over yourself, you are digging your own grave. But when you praise God, all you can speak about is life. Because God brings life. Even when our mortal bodies die, we will live eternally. So when you begin to praise God, you begin to speak life over yourself. And there comes your healing. Part of the reason why you've been sick for so long is because you are talking about a condition instead of praising God for the fact you might walk with a limp, you might have a fever, you might look a hot mess, but you're still alive. Yeah, amen. Woo, okay, all right. You're still here. So now in these last and evil days that we're going through, we must remember that praise is always in order. Praise confuses the enemy. Praise is a weapon. The tribe of Judah was sent into battle first to confuse the enemy, because what the enemy thought was they're just going to run up on them and just fight them. But there had to be a sound first. There had to be a drum beat first to announce that the people who have been blessed by God to fight are coming. Praise God. Listen, during these past few months, I had two options. Either I was going to sit in my house, and I'm going to sit here and mumble, "We lost everything, oh my God." I'm going to praise God for the fact that I might not have a building, but I got a computer. We might not be in Lancaster, but I thank God for a dad who's not just a spiritual father, but a natural father that says, "Son, come on home for a little bit and get yourself some rest until God tells you the next move." The fact that I still have a wife and kids. The fact that I still have a job. The fact that I still have the ability of my limbs. That the fact that 6 months ago I was at the edge of death, and rather than getting took out of here by a car accident because I was driving with extremely high sugar, rather than my kidneys shutting down, rather than me losing my vision, God saw fit to bring healing. I can praise God for the fact that on the day I was born, both me and my mother died, but God brought us back. Oh, I got a list. I can keep going all day. What's your list? What's your list? How can you praise God at a crazy time like this? Because he's just that good. And I trust him even through pain. I trust him. Even through tears, I trust him. I'm closing here. I told y'all this is going to be short. This year, I need for us to begin to change our thinking when it comes to when the struggle is real. Because watch this. When you dwell on a thing, if you dwell on what is happening around you, it only makes the experience worse. I tell people that becoming a Christian, it does not solve your problems, but gives you the strength and the faith to get through them. So we need to begin to change our thinking. Instead of living in the situation, praise the God that's going to bring us out. And don't stop praising him until you come out. And when you come out, you better accelerate that praise. Praise him even harder because he brought you out. That we never forget the things that God has done. People ask me, I can't believe, especially some of our woke brothers and sisters, some of the people who's like they're giving every crap I do energy. And they're like, how can you still preach and pastor when people use the Bible as a weapon against your ancestors over slavery? This is me. Because he woke me up this morning. He started me on my way. Because he's a God who keeps his promises. And I'm sorry about what men did to the word. And they have to deal with the consequences of that. But the God I serve is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And the same thing he has done over these past 36 years, he's going to do in the next 36 years. He's going to do it for my children and my children's children, because I trust him. Do you trust him? Do you trust him? So if you trust him, praise him. Come on, praise him. Hallelujah. God, we thank you for being a covenant-keeping God. We thank you for not being slack concerning your promises. We thank you for waking us up this morning. We thank you for opening our eyes. We thank you for creating us in your image, God. We thank you for protecting us, for blocking us from the things that we deserve, God. We thank you for sending your son, Jesus Christ, on the cross to die for our sins and to rise again for our eternity, God. God, we thank you that you have given us the ability to gather in a place together, that we don't have to worry about the military knocking on our doors. We don't have to worry about people protesting outside of the church. You've brought us to this place, God. I thank you that you have trusted us with your Holy Spirit. I thank you that you have tabernacled in this place so there can be healing and deliverance. God, I thank you that you have brought us from the north, south, east, and the west for one other purpose than to just come together and be in your presence. God, we thank you. God, we give you glory and we give you honor. Now, Lord, as we go forward, as we go into our lives, as we do what you've called for us to do, Lord God, may we not forget the thank you. Even when we're mad at you, may we not forget the thank you. Even when the answer is no, may we not forget the thank you. Even when the answer is wait, may we not forget the thank you. Because we trust you enough that your no is going to take us to something better than what we wanted. We trust you enough to know that the wait means that you are preparing us for the thing that's coming our way that you already see, God. God, we thank you. Now, Lord God, I come against the spirit of anger and the spirit of depression right now in the name of Jesus. I come against the spirit of heaviness that is trying to plague the churches of America in the name of Jesus. Lord God, we decree and declare the joy of the Lord. We decree and declare the peace of the Lord in the name of Jesus. And that we exchange our heaviness for garments of praise, and that we can affirm to the world that we don't just believe in you, but we trust you, and we will follow your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I will trust in